without their role. So with that, I'll turn it back to Rob, and once again, welcome to Suffolk.
Thank you, John. And I wanted to also thank a few other people quickly. One is MassVote is a state organization that we've been happy to work with in this event. And we have with Juan Martinez, George Pillsbury, and Atiya Dengelbin from MassVote and its partner joint organization, Boston Vote. But thank you for your help today. And there's information about them outside as well as information about our center. And our summer associate crew has done a wonderful job, and you will see them around also with the Suffolk ushers, but they have really made this possible. And then working with Jamin Raskin from Washington College of Law, Frank Watkins with Jesse Jackson Jr.'s office, and others who have been raising the issue of the Right to Vote Amendment over the months and years has been a great pleasure. I thought I'd just very quickly say something about the Center for Voting and Democracy before introducing Kim Gandy. And I thought one way to do it, I just thought I'd write out this morning what we believe and raising the question of whether these beliefs are indeed radical or whether they're mainstream. We believe that the right to vote and the right to free speech are the twin pillars of democracy and that both deserve federal protection under the Constitution. We believe that every American adult citizen should have the right to vote for president who governs them and for representation in Congress. And that any jurisdiction not allowing legal immigrants to vote should explain why these tax-paying parents of children in public schools do not deserve that right to vote. We should have that conversation. We believe that when we elect a president, all votes should count equally. One person, one value, all across the country. We believe that when we elect a president, governor, or any executive, that person should demonstrate that they have majority support rather than being able to win with less than a majority. We believe that voters should be given every incentive to vote for candidates whom they strongly support, and that any barriers to being able to organize and vote for candidates of choice should be removed. We believe that when we vote for representatives to a legislature like the Congress, we all should have a reasonable chance to elect a candidate who represents our interests. When we take 280, 290 million people and condense them to legislative assemblies representing us, that they should be fully representative. I don't think those points are radical, but they are, in a sense, in the context of where we are in our own nation. And part of that is that we have been a long-standing democracy building on a constitution that goes back to the 1700s. And a constitution and the vision of democracy in that constitution was enlightened for that era, but we live in a different era now. And there was no way there was going to be a right to vote in the Constitution in 1787. Because people like John Adams didn't really believe in it for that many people. And we didn't directly elect the Senate until the last 100 years. We still maintain the Electoral College. There's a lot of institutions that actually cushion government from people. And I think that we need to have a wide open conversation about how to make this a living, breathing, vibrant, representative democracy. I think that the fact that we're so close to where the Democratic Party is having their convention raises some important questions about Democrats. We're going to soon hear from a woman who does a wonderful one-woman show on Fannie Lou Hamer. But it's 40 years since Fannie Lou Hamer's challenge to the Democratic Party and the all-white delegation representing Democrats from Mississippi. And that I think that we still have places to go, or those who are active within the Democratic Party still have places to take their party. Just a few examples. In the year 2000, someone was elected president who got fewer votes than the other guy. But in the Congress right now, there's not a single piece of legislation that mentions the term electoral college, let alone a proposal to change the electoral college system. There's a bill that Congressman Hastings has that would ask the question of whether we should make changes that would make our Congress more representative. Consider having more than 435 House members debate whether we should use non-winner-take-all systems like full representation. It doesn't actually have any co-sponsors at this point. Democrats worked with Republicans to pass the Help America Vote Act to help more Americans be at the polls and cast their votes, but within a structure that I think is not going to make that nearly as effective as it should be. How many of you followed what Tom DeLay and the Republicans did in Texas in redistricting last year? Well, there are two reasons why that could happen. One is Congress, when it was run by Democrats, didn't do anything to reform the way we do redistricting. And Texas, when it was run by Democrats, didn't do anything to reform redistricting. And what comes around goes around, and we need to have systems that are fair and just at the time and for the future. So for us, just a summary of our statements of belief is that we should directly elect the president using instant runoff voting to ensure a majority winner and the voters have free choice. We should look to full representation voting methods for Congress and other legislative bodies to fully represent us and our diversity. And we should work with others in an ongoing enterprise for our nation to secure, enhance, and exercise the vote at all levels of government. And, yes, we need an affirmative right to vote in our Constitution.